Welcome to all of you, and thank you so much for being here with us tonight. This is the City of South Jordan City Council meeting. Today is Tuesday, April 4th, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with these outstanding public servants seated beside me who represent each of you on the City Council. We also have our administrative staff here with us, and we appreciate them and all that they do for our city. Welcome to any visitors, guests, those joining us in person and online. We appreciate you being here with us. We are going to open tonight's meeting with an invocation. Mr. Shelton, Don Shelton, on our city council is listed, and he was unable to join us tonight. We're excusing Mr. Shelton, and I'm just going to see if there's a volunteer.
I'll be happy.
Mr. Harris, thank you.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're very thankful that we have the opportunity to be gathered together in the city council meeting. We're thankful for our mayor and all that she does to work for on behalf of our city. We're thankful for the council members and our city staff. We're thankful for the snow that we received, and we're thankful for our crews that are going out and clearing it and keeping everyone safe. We're thankful for our police officers and our firefighters. Please keep them safe. We're especially thankful for our residents, especially those who are in attendance today, and please bless them. And we say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. All right, next we will be privileged to be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
I'd like to invite the mayor, council, staff, and audience to please rise and salute the flag and recite the Pledge of Allegiance along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. All right, the minutes from our March 21st council study meeting and city council meeting have been sent out for review. Are there any questions or changes that need to be made to the minutes? And if not, can I get a motion to approve the minutes?
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right, we'll give a second to Mr. Harris. Thank you. Any questions, concerns? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from our March 21st City Council study meeting and City Council meeting, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Those minutes are approved. Welcome to those of you who just joined us. We appreciate you being here. All right, time for our public comment period of the meeting. This is when we turn the microphone over to you and give you the opportunity to speak to the council and share anything with us you'd like.
Mayor, do you want to do the mayor and council reports first? Or do you want to...
Yeah, potentially. Okay, backtrack. Written at the very bottom of the previous page is the next agenda item. So hold on, the public comment period is coming. Thank you. My watch keeps doing that. Randomly, it did it, earlier in a meeting, too. That's the third time today my watch has tried to understand, and I'm not certain as to why, because I'm not talking to my watch. Okay. Thank you. It's trying to understand why I skipped the mayor and council reports, I guess. This is an opportunity that we have created over the last few years for your elected officials to be able to report back and just give a little bit of an update of what we've been working on in the last 2 weeks. So, is anybody interested in going first? Mr. Harris, would
sure,
you like to go?
Sure, sort of on the side. Yeah, thank you. I, along with the mayor and Councilwoman Zander, went to Washington, D.C., and, we went there for a very specific purpose. We have some water projects, that we're looking to do in our city, and we had the potential to get some federal funding for that, which would be very appreciated. So we had the opportunity to meet with Senator Romney and Mike Lee and Representative Burgess Owens as well. A great opportunity to meet with them. And I will say the thing that really impressed me, Mayor, is how warm of reception we received, when we went there and met with them. I mean, South Jordan is very well thought of, by our senators and congressmen. So, it was very impressive. We have a lobbyist who's really looking after our interest, and it was just for them to take time just for us was pretty impressive. So, that was a very, very, very enjoyable time. In addition, you know, there was a National Leagues of Cities conference that was in Washington, D.C. that I attended as well. You know, the other cities attended, so we can kind of all learn from one another. And also there's others, you know, from the state of Utah where the Utah Leagues or the Utah cities all got together, and it was good for us to collaborate, you know, as well while we're out there. So it was a wonderful time. It was definitely worthwhile going out there.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Mr. Marlowe, would you like to go?
I don't have too much to report. We didn't have any architectural review committee meetings since last council. And as I mentioned in the work study session, I've actually had a couple calls just in the last 2 weeks. Resident concerns about Airbnb activity in their neighborhoods, actually even next door. And so that was a little bit disconcerting, but the neighbors didn't really... And those who lived next to Airbnbs didn't really know what was acceptable, what the ordinances were and things. And so I was able to answer some of those questions. And I think it could be a topic for general, media relations or public relations or whatever Rachel wants to call it, that we could help the public, help our residents understand what's going on with Airbnbs, because I think they will become more prolific over time.
Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Sander.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Just to piggyback. Oh, here we go. We got a little bit of show and
tell. I'm terrible at it. I've never even sent a picture.
So as Council Member Harris said, the Mayor and I and Mr. Harris were able to go National League of Cities and Towns next. It was at a beautiful location. I loved pointing this out. There are dozens and dozens of sponsors of this National League of Cities and Towns, and it was heartwarming. The mayor knew this was happening, but I walked up to a booth and was so surprised and thrilled to see a local Utah Just Serve organization was one of the major sponsors. If you'll go to the next one, this is the gentleman. I walked up and I said, wait, where are you from? And he said, Utah. And I'm like, yay! So I got his picture. He was excited to be in my picture. Next. This is a picture of the mayor and I and Mr. Harris in the grand hall, the ballroom. And this is just minutes before First Lady Jill Biden came and spoke to us. In this hall, there was probably, I'm estimating 3,000-4,000 people. It was my first time attending and Mr. Harris's first time, and the mayor had been there once before. I think the part that was heartwarming to me, besides the meeting with our elected officials up there, is just rubbing shoulders and sitting side by side with elected officials from across the nation with varied needs and challenges. And to sit and listen to them talk about their workforce or their housing or their homelessness and compare it to what we have here in the state of Utah, I 100% came home so grateful for the leadership we have in our state and the way our government up at our state capitol has been so responsible fiscally so that we're faring well. So there's a picture of us in the minute. Go ahead, next. This, I think, is hilarious, I just have to say. Because First Lady Mrs. Biden was there, they had layers and layers and layers of Secret Service. And on the way out, I said, so can I get a picture with you? And they're like, we can't pose for a picture. I said, okay, well, I'm going to take a picture. And they all both looked down. So there's my picture with the Secret Service, and they were posing discreetly. Next. This is a group. They had us in some classes where they sized us by small, mid, and large range size cities. And this was a room I was in with a bunch of mid-sized cities, so 80 to 120,000 population cities. And interestingly enough, at my table, there was two gentlemen from Utah, from Mill Creek, I believe. And it was just, again, fascinating. The woman on the far right is from California. The one next to me was Oregon. The gentleman next to her was Washington. So fascinating and interesting and educational to talk to all of them. Next. This is a picture of us at dinner. These are the Utah League of Cities and Towns members. There was probably 100 of us there from Utah. There's the mayor, myself, Councilmember Harris and his wife. And to my right, those three are council members from Salt Lake City, who I'd never met before. They sat down and I said, well, where are you from? And it's Salt Lake City. And it was great to meet other elected officials, again, from our very own state. Next. after the conference was over.
I'm so impressed.
I hopped on a bike as fast as I could to go out and see the cherry blossoms. Next, I went around the mall. I saw the Smithsonian's. We ended classes around 3 or 5 p.m., and I raced for my tennis shoes and got on a bike as fast as I could to get down to the mall and see these fantastic. It was emotional for me to be at the Jefferson Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial and just be so grateful for the government that we have. Next. And there I am on my lime bike, riding around at the cherry blossoms.
Is that lime or Xander green?
Well, you know, thanks for noticing. I did pick the green bike.
I'm sure she chose that on purpose.
Anyway, I really thoroughly enjoyed this trip, learned so much, came home so grateful. And as Mr. Harris said, we were greeted so warmly by our senators and representatives, and it's in large part because they have a great deal of respect for the city of South Jordan, and our mayor has done a lot to create relationships with them, and I'm really appreciative, and we all are better because of that. The other thing I wanted to report on March 22nd, and I'm sure the mayor will say more about this, we had our HTRC meeting. Great meeting. I was able to watch the mayor in action and our chiefs of staff and the Larry H. Miller team present that and get a majority, like,
unanimous
vote. And you can talk more on that. It's your deal. Later that night, on the 22nd of March, I attended the Veterans Appreciation Dinner. I sit on the South Jordan Business Committee on the South Valley Chamber of Commerce. And the South Valley Chamber of Commerce had the idea this year that we would have something that we could do to give back to the community. And the South Jordan City Business Committee decided they wanted to do something for the veterans. And so they had a dinner that was free with some entertainment. I was able to connect them to a comedian that I know who came and completely without charge performed that night and created a lot of laughter and fun for those veterans and their families to come have dinner. And the mayor spoke. She was, besides the comedian, she was the other entertainer.
I'm not that
funny. Not really.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to report. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for coming as well. Appreciate it. Mr. McGuire.
So I was able to attend the HTRZ meeting over Zoom. The mayor did a wonderful presentation, and thank you to all the staff members who helped put that presentation together. That's a great benefit for South Jordan as we look forward to the downtown Daybreak area developing. Met with our communications, part of our communications team, and filmed a recruitment video for the Arts Council. So if any of the adults here are interested in the arts and would like to serve on the Arts Council, please look into joining. I was able to have a meeting with the developer who has some big ambitions for the west side of our city, and it will be interesting to see how things progress. As a reminder, the art show goes through the end of April over at the Yale Center. And then I wanted to say thank you to our public works team and their efforts with snow removal throughout the whole winter, but especially this morning. I make a commute from South Jordan to the north end of downtown Salt Lake, and our roads were far better than any of the other cities. And we had a lot more snow than the other cities. So I thought that was kind of interesting that our guys were out there on top of it first thing in the morning and got things taken care of. So thank you very much. And that's my report, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. I'll make mine brief. Yes, it was monumental, our HTRZ hearing. Not 23, but in the 2022 legislative session, the legislature created what they refer to as Housing Transit Reinvestment Zones, which we affectionately refer to as an acronym HTRZ. And it's quite a process to apply for an HTRZ. To go through the process, it's overseen by the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. What it does is it gives the city an opportunity to apply to bring stakeholders together and work collaboratively to make sure that we have the infrastructure in place for the private development that we are bringing, that is coming, that's happening as we continue to grow. And our economic future is absolutely critical. It's imperative that we get it right and that we have a strong economic future for the tax base of our residents long term. So we worked really hard as a city. Our staff has been tremendous. Our council has supported and implemented the right plans, the right priorities, the right policies. We've partnered very closely with the Larry H. Miller Group and come together and brought together partners from the county and the school district and the water district and the Senate and the House and the Tax Commission and I don't even know who else. A lot of stakeholders, UTA and the Department of Transportation, and we all came together and did this presentation about the plans that we have for our economic future here in South Jordan and how imperative it is that we get this right, as we have a unique opportunity with land with a single owner that can be developed into an incredible commercial and jobs and urban center right on the tracks line. We were really grateful at the end of that presentation and so much work to receive a unanimous vote of support from all of the partners to work with us to help make sure that we can ensure that we've got the right infrastructure in place and that the planning is exactly what it needs to be so that as this goes forward, it will not be a negative impact but a benefit to the residents of South Jordan. And that's been a very collaborative process that we will continue to work on. Mike Schultz is the majority leader of the House from Hooper, Representative Schultz. And he, along with Senator Wayne Harper of Taylorsville, wrote the HTRZ legislation. And we had a lot of other organizations represented there, auxiliary organizations like Wasatch Front Regional Council. There were a lot of other organizations there. And Representative Schultz, we were honored when he said, "This project is the best project in the state, and I believe the best in the nation, and it needs to be the model for how things are done. This is the model for it. It's what HTRZs were created for, but this is the model for how things should be done." And when Senator Harper agreed, we appreciated that. That was high praise. It's true. It's accurate. But we appreciate these people knowing it, recognizing it. So thank you to Brian Priest and to all of our staff who worked so hard on that, Gary and Ryan and everyone, Dustin, just all the work. There's been so much work. Don Tingey and Sunil, it's been, I can't even name everybody. It's been huge and collaborative and a lot of work. Very proud of that outcome and grateful for it. My favorite moment, I think, of the conference we went to, the National League of Cities Conference, was meeting with the Western Municipal Association. It's the 17 Western states in the United States, and it's the municipal leaders, the city leaders from their leagues of cities and towns or whatever they call their organization, coming together to talk about issues that are specific to the Western 17 states, which are different than the South and the Midwest and the East side of our country, specifically with water, especially with drought, with water. I just feel so much value in getting to hear from all of them what their priorities and top concerns are. And I came home feeling the same way, just grateful and reminded that we are doing well as a state and as a community, and some of the challenges that we have aren't even on the same page as a lot of the challenges a lot of these other communities are facing. And our challenges are real. But I would take ours over anybody else's every day of the week. We are really doing well. We've got great residents. We've got a strong base. We've got a strong economy. We've got elected officials with integrity. We've got a very sophisticated staff, and we are in good shape. Most people wish they had what we have. There's a lot of challenges out there. And I really do want to say thank you for coming back to Washington, D.C., the trip was well worth it, and we did quite well. I think we're doing well and in a good position to do, in the best position we can be, to hope for a little bit of federal funding. And you can like or hate the fact that there's federal funding available. That's not what this is about. What this is about is that there is federal funding that's been approved. So whether it should or shouldn't be is a totally different argument. There is money available. Somebody's going to get it. We might as well see what we can do to get part of it, and that's what we're working to do. And so it went really well. We're hopeful and we're optimistic and appreciate all the work that's gone into leading to this point and everyone who helped us have some really successful visits back there. I think they're great. We've been able to show Senator Romney and Representative Owens our water projects. We've invited Senator Lee to come and see them, and we'll just keep working hard The growth is going to continue to happen here in the city. People are going to keep moving here, and landowners are going to keep wanting to develop their land. And as they do, we have to make sure that we are far ahead of the curve with infrastructure, that we have what we need for water and roads and all the things. And so that's what we're doing, is working really long-term and long-range. So thanks for that. And just my final update that I'm going to give is that I think we have a proposal on the table that we really should consider. We fondly refer to our city by its nickname, SoJo, right? We love living in SoJo. It's been proposed, and I think it's a great idea, that we consider renaming our nickname SnowJo. I think we're going to say we're very proud to live in SnowJo. And I don't know if that's ever going to change, you know, if maybe we'll thaw out by this summer, but maybe not. But, you know, just so you know, it's an idea. I tried it in a hashtag. It works well. So
for what it's worth,
we might need some new merch. You know, we need some new swag that we can, pins or something. Is this SnowJo? I don't know. Anyway,
you in a sweater.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of my report. So thanks, you guys. And now we'll move to the top of the next page for our public comment period. This is when we turn the microphone over to you, and anyone who'd like to speak will turn to those in person and then those online. You are welcome to come to the microphone. Please give us your name and your address for the public record. Everyone gets 3 minutes to speak, and I say the same thing every meeting. So if you've been here, you've heard this plenty of times. We really are proud of how we do things here in South Jordan and the civil dialogue that we have. We expect respect and decorum from each of us, and I give you our commitment that you will get that from us, and we ask the same from each of you, because we're all very proud to live in this city and want to come up with the best solutions we can. So with that, I'll turn the time over to anyone here who'd like to speak. The time is yours. Don't rush the mic or anything. It's good. We got time. Okay, is there anyone online that would like to address the council? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave or raise your electronic hand. Hi, Bob Paxton. Mr. Paxton, are you there?
I am.
All right.
Mayor and council, thank you. And it sounds like that trip back east was very worthwhile and good. It's nice to be well represented. I skied at Alta a week ago Saturday, so 10 days ago. It has snowed 112 inches since that period of time. Of course, now we can't get up the canyon, so that's the problem. I have a question. I'm excited to learn a little bit tonight about the water recycling. Where I grew up out in California, just as a kid, they were doing water recycling in our communities 60 years ago. And what I want to know is, and I assume Jason will probably go through this, the cost of the plant and the infrastructure. Would be one question. Another would be, where will the water go? Will it be incorporated into the culinary system or the canal system or for city use only? And then some kind of a cost benefit, and probably even cost benefit doesn't matter that much because we need water. So even if it costs us something, we definitely need water. And so those are some questions I'm hoping that can be answered in the presentation later. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Nice to see you. And yeah, I'm glad you were able to ski before the canyon had to be shut down. It's crazy. Stay safe out there.
Yeah. And Bob, I got your text. I forwarded over to Jason. We'll make sure we go over those items at that time.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online that would like to speak? If so, please turn on your camera and raise your hand. Okay. Seeing none, we will close the public comment portion of our meeting and move to our presentation items. Item G1, we have a proclamation in recognition of Child Abuse Prevention Month. And there are a couple of us here who are dressed in teal because that is the color representing Child Abuse Prevention Month. So that's deliberate. But if you'll allow me, I'm going to read this proclamation of the City of South Jordan. Whereas the children of the City of South Jordan are the future of our state's success, and investing in their general welfare, safety, and livelihood are of utmost priority. And whereas all children deserve to grow up in a safe and nurturing environment to assure they reach their full potential as they grow and develop. And whereas the protection of children and strengthening of families is of concern and responsibility of all South Jordan citizens, because the wellness of children affects our lives now and will continue to affect us in the future. And whereas child abuse is a serious problem, with 9,695 confirmed child victims in the state of Utah last fiscal year, with each of those cases impacting an entire family and affecting the community. Whereas child abuse respects no racial, religious, socioeconomic, or geographical boundaries. And whereas all citizens of South Jordan need to become more aware of child abuse and its prevention within their respective communities and actively encourage and support parents to raise their children in a safe and nurturing environment. And whereas preventing child abuse requires each member of the community to be attentive to the problems of families around them and to commit to do everything they can to help. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Don R. Ramsey, and the South Jordan City Council call upon our citizens to renew their commitment to be educated on the impact of child abuse and work for its prevention within our communities and proclaim April 2023 as Child Abuse Prevention Month. Additionally, we have one more. We never have two proclamations the same day. We have another one tonight. And we look forward to being able to give this one. And we'll let Mr. Rasmussen explain a little bit more about why we're excited to give this one. We have an official proclamation from the City of South Jordan. Whereas in 1872, the Nebraska Board of Agriculture established a special day to be set aside for the planting of trees. And whereas this holiday, called Arbor Day, was first observed with the planting of more than a million trees in Nebraska. And whereas Arbor Day is now observed throughout the nation and the world. And whereas trees can be a solution to combating climate change by reducing the erosion of our precious topsoil by wind and water, cutting heat and cooling costs, moderating the temperature, cleaning the air, producing life-giving oxygen, and providing habitat for wildlife. And whereas trees are a renewable resource, giving us paper, wood for our homes, fuel for our fires, and countless other wood products. And whereas trees in our city increase property values, enhance the economic vitality of business areas, and beautify our community. And whereas trees, wherever they are planted, are a source of joy and spiritual renewal. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Don R. Ramsey, Mayor of the City of South Jordan, and the City Council do hereby proclaim April 28th as Arbor Day in the City of South Jordan, and I urge all citizens to celebrate Arbor Day and to support efforts to protect our trees and woodlands, and further urge all citizens to plant trees to gladden the hearts and promote the well-being of this and future generations. This is a proclamation we're proud to make every year, and again, we'll have Mr. Rasmussen explain a little bit more about why this is important to us here, besides the fact that our city logo is a tree. there's a reason. So,
thank you, Mayor. I'll just share some statistics and appreciate you with the work on the proclamation. So South Jordan has been a member of Tree City USA since 2009. We have almost 8,500 city-owned and maintained trees throughout the city. Most of them are in park property, city properties, and arterial and collector street park strips. So our urban forester, Kevin Ball, he's not here tonight, but he is very passionate and very knowledgeable about trees, and he has a goal to get that number up to 10,000 trees, city-owned trees, over the next 5 years. And so we have a dedicated crew, urban forestry crew, that manages our trees and our open spaces, and they do a great job. They do, if we can imagine what trees mean to the city and the aesthetics and just really all that it means to the city. It's a very important program of the city's, and being a member of Tree City USA is kind of the icing on the cake, some recognition that, of the work that they do and the commitment that the city has to the urban forests here that we own and maintain. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rasmussen. We are proud to be part of Tree City USA since 2009, every year. And that's not an automatic renewal. There's a lot of work that goes into that. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right, item G3, we appreciate having members of our South Jordan Youth Council here with us. including our youth council mayor, Neethresh. Do I pronounce your last name Suresh?
Yes.
Is that right? I don't want to get it wrong. If that's wrong, correct me.
No, you're
okay. Okay. I always just call her Neethresh, so. So anyway, I wanted to point out that these youth have been really instrumental, actually, in Mrs. Ander mentioned that Just Serve was there at the National League of Cities. Our youth council and some of these fine folks sitting here with us have been instrumental in working with Just Serve in organizing and creating and giving feedback about the program being initiated by Just Serve in partnership with NLC to create a youth service program nationwide. So we appreciate all your support on that. That is still moving forward. We'll keep you posted. Anyway, with that, Madam Mayor, we will turn the microphone to you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Hi, my name is Nathra Suresh. I'm a senior at Bingham High School. I've served on South Jordan Youth Council for about 3 years now, and this year I was privileged enough to be Youth Council Mayor. So with that, thank you for letting me speak today, and I really appreciate the opportunity to show you what all we have accomplished this year. So just a little bit about us, break us down by the numbers. We have 28 active members. Those are 13 seniors, 5 juniors, and 10 sophomores. This year, we were able to dedicate 344 hours of total volunteer time, which among us is a great sacrifice and great time. I really appreciate how my council has dedicated and stepped up at least 11 to 12 hours a person.
That's great.
So what do we do during these service activities? These service activities are split between different areas, which is great because some of our members feel more comfortable at the desk behind the Gale Center where they can serve in a calm environment and help with secretarial duties or anything that the Gale Center requires for their records. Or some of them really like to get up close with our city patrons. At events like Summerfest or Light the Night, we really love serving our recreational staff and helping them dedicate these activities to help create memories for families. We also love serving our seniors at the community center. We help annually volunteer for the Veterans Breakfast, and it's a beautiful way to show our seniors how much we care and appreciate for their service for our country. Some of the events that we've attended this year, this January, we were able to go to State Legislators Day. This event was dedicated for multiple city youth councils as well as our city representatives. This event, So we got to see the Utah General Assembly for the 2023 legislative session. We also got to tour the Capitol and see all the different buildings and people involved. Another fond memory for us was there was a Bingham debate coach that served for about 25 years, and we got to see him as a green coat at the Capitol, and it was such a fun memory for all of us. We also had a banquet where a lot of us got to meet lobbyists and intermediaries, really get down into how does state and local government work. This was just a couple weeks ago. It was our USU Leadership Conference. We had fun in our big black city bus. We called it our party bus, and we had a lot of fun meeting other city councils and really listening to our guest speakers and our motivational speakers and breaking out into different groups to learn more leadership skills.
Sorry again that we couldn't be there. I hated missing that.
It's okay. We represented you guys in spirit.
Thank you.
Again, I just want to take the time to really thank all of my members of our council. These guys are super busy. They have extracurricular sports, advanced placement classes. They're working for their families, but they still have the time to dedicate for this council. And as a city, we should be proud that we have such vibrant youth that are willing to serve every day. So our theme for this year was communication. This was our first all-in-person service year. After COVID, all of us were getting back into the groove of things. So like Mayor Don Ramsey mentioned before, we had our focus groups with Just Serve, as well as our focus group with the Utah Multicultural Division. I want to emphasize how important this step is. As South Jordan begins to diversify, it's important that we also take a look at how it impacts minority youth, as well as what we can do to promote the growth of our youth in South Jordan City. We also got to meet Congressman Burgess Owens. It was a very interesting experience. Members were encouraged to ask questions about his daily life and legislation pieces. He really helped us understand how legislation, especially for education, will impact us, high school students. Additionally, we had some municipal speakers from our South Jordan City itself. We had department heads, some of them are even here today, who took the time out of their day to present to us and really educate us on how the different departments function. It's not in their job description to talk to a bunch of 15-year-olds, but they really showed up and they made really engaging presentations. One of our favorites was this mock trial, which our South Jordan City judge did, and we had a lot of fun. This is our senior member, Kevin Warner, in our full cap and gown regalia, and we had a lot of fun, like, going through the trial motions as a team. And then finally, we also had state leadership conferences and presentations. These presentations are important because we actually had two internships that came about watching these department heads. We had an animal services internship and a communication and marketing internship. These presentations are important because this is, for some people, the first exposure they have to what different city departments do. A lot of us didn't know that our city functions and requires so much people and manpower. We want to promote jobs that allow individuals to develop skills and vocations while still having time for family. And I think this exposure is really important as we progress in the next generation for city leadership. So what have we learned? We've learned to adjust to life after COVID. We've learned how to work in person again, to deal with that productive tension. Again, we've also learned how our government works. This picture of the truck is from our public works meeting last year, but it just goes to show how looking at it and experiencing what our departments do impacts us and makes us more thankful for all of our city workers. And finally, what most important is leadership skills, learning how to deal with difficult topics or save space for others in speaking and service is what this council is good for. So these are some of my personal favorite events. We have the USU Leadership Conference again. At the bottom picture, you'll see that we have one of our senior members, Andrew Shackelford, who gave a beautiful speech on how he, as a sophomore, went to the state legislature day when they were first designing our new state flag. And now finally, he, as a senior, got to see it through. And this speech was so important because this opportunity allows us to see legislative change and really get our hands on and experience it for ourselves. And then you'll see two pictures of pumpkins. This is my personal favorite. I love art. We got to paint pumpkins for our South Jordan Pumpkin Promenade, themed Nightmare Before Christmas, and it was one of my favorite activities this year. So as I close this presentation, I just want to say that I've had such a privilege to be Youth Council Mayor. It's given me so many experiences and things to think about for my future. It has also instilled a lifelong love of community service and leadership, and I know that I will pursue similar commitments like this in the future because of how much South Jordan has given me and how much I've enjoyed it. So from our council to yours, I actually want to say first thank you to our leader, Emily Stevens. She has organized and really helped us be some of the best student representatives we could be. Again, thank you to Mayor Don Ramsey for coordinating events for us and giving us a voice. And thank you, City Council, and all the city staff that helped support us this year. So from our council to yours, thank you.
Thank you so much. Very quickly, you'll recall this is the first year that the city has taken the city council or the youth council as a city program. Right, we made that decision, yep. Bring it in-house, make it a city program. Fantastic efforts. Thank you. We just appreciate all the work that's gone into this. And we have such great youth council members, It's very easy for me to suggest, well, let's use our youth council to give input on this. Let's get their ideas. Let's see what they think, because they're so bright and they're in tune and they work hard and they show up, and that matters. We appreciate your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate all of you. I'm going to ask if the members of the youth council who are here with us tonight would please stand so we can thank you for your service. And then I'm going to see, because you're preparing to wrap up the time, right? Some of you are graduating, and this is just about time for this year as youth council members to wrap up. I'm going to see if we can go down as a council and take a picture with all of our youth council members. Is that okay? Great. So proud of you. Okay, do we need to make two lines, two rows?
Actually, I think I got everyone.
Okay.
A lot of the staff on the sides are backing up over here. All right, 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Awesome.
We're not offended. You have to use a wide angle lens. Thank you guys. Really, thank you.
We just have a quick little thank you letter to give from our council as well.
That's so nice. Thank you very much. Thanks.
It's Sandra Green.
For the record, it is Xander Green.
My favorite color.
Oh, boy.
It just happened to be.
It's awesome. I told you they're smart.
All green M&Ms at her.
Hand them over.
It's awesome. Okay, we are going to move on to. Okay, look at the time. We're so good. We're not jinxing this. We are right on time. We have item H, our action items. We've got 5 of them to go through, but no public hearings tonight. We have item H1, resolution R2023-14. Approving the potential Bureau of Reclamation grant match commitment for funding opportunity R23AS00076, WaterSmart, Water Recycling and Desalination Planning. Mr. Jason Rasmussen, our Director of Public Works, is going to talk through this.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So we are applying for a grant to help us with our Pure Sojo Water Recycling Project. And this resolution is to show the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation that the city has the funding, is willing to commit it, and it'll be committed by resolution if we end up receiving it. So we haven't received it yet. The Bureau of Reclamation needs to know that we have the money and that we can match 50% match. And so this resolution serves to create this official document to send to the Bureau of Reclamation, and they'll acknowledge that. So just wanted to give you just a couple minutes update on how the project's going. So we've almost made it here. If you can imagine, it was about a year ago that we all went down, the council went down and got a tour of the facility where we're processing water. So we've been processing water there for a year, taking lots of samples and sending those off to a certified lab. And then we take the results of those and send them to the State Division of Drinking Water.
And things have been going good so far. We've learned quite a bit by operating the plant with our own staff. And we're seeing good things come from the results as well. The advanced treatment process is accomplishing what we thought it would. And we have the result, the sample results to show that. So we've also been able to host quite a few people, not the general public yet, but a number of water association groups and some other cities have come in and taken some tours of it that are very interested in doing something similar. So our next steps with the project, we have our work cut out for us. There's a number of permits and agreements and that we need to execute and apply for and get approval. This is going to take a little while. This isn't going to be done overnight. So we're working on getting some studies done and to get ready to apply for these things and secure the water right. So as you can see from this list, there's quite a bit of work to do, and this is going to take some time, but we're forging ahead, and we're moving forward, and we're working on these. And then lastly, specifically for this grant, there's three things that we're looking to do with the grant. Number one is to have a water feasibility study conducted. This is a study specifically that the Bureau of Reclamation requires to get additional funding for additional grants. And so we are going to have this study performed by an engineering consultant, and that will allow us to go after construction grants as we move into full scale down the road. We need to, for the water right, we need to measure what the impact will be from recycling the water and sending a little less down the Jordan River and what impact it'll have on the Great Salt Lake. We're confident that we can show it's not going to be that much, and that there's some other means of making up for it if that becomes an issue with the state engineer. And then lastly, the Bureau will allow us to use this money to create a 30% design for a full-scale facility. That allows us to see what the building looks like, where we could place it down there on South Valley's property, and come up with a really good cost estimate of what it might be to implement a full-scale advanced treatment facility. Lastly, the numbers. So those three items that I just shared, they come to approximately a $1.4 million total. And the Bureau, this is a 50% grant match, so the city would match what the Bureau would give to us. Currently in our project funding balance, we have $1.6 million. We've received $2.6 million in appropriations and grants from the state, and so that's what's going to pay for this. And so the $743,000 would be paid out of the balance there of the 1.6 million. So that funding's in place. We have it. The city's share would probably be around 700,000 or a little bit less, because we can count hours of staff and time of staff towards the project. And so the hard cost would be closer to about 700,000. So it would be a little bit less than what you see there. And that's it. I'd be happy to entertain any questions and recommend that we approve this resolution.
Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Rasmussen?
So was there a question by Mr. Paxton?
I've got those questions.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think you addressed some of these. You know, this first question was the cost of plant infrastructure. So you went over that already. So that's there. The second question you had was, where will the water go, culinary canal or city use?
Yeah, so our goal and what we're working towards is get this approved for culinary water use, drinking use. I showed you that list of permits and approvals we need, and so we got to get through all those, and some of them are going to be challenging, but we're gonna forge ahead and do what we need to do to try to get those approvals.
And then the third question that Mr. Paxton had was, what is the cost benefit to the residents?
Yeah, and I think Mr. Paxton almost answered it himself. Yeah. The reason we're doing this is to have adequate water supply for the future. And so fortunately, we've had a very bounteous water year, and hopefully we keep getting those. But if we don't, we're looking to the long term to ensure if there's cutbacks, which if we would have had another terrible snow season this year, it would have been to where Jordan Valley would have come and told us, you know what, we're going to cut back 10-15% on water supply. So we're looking ahead and saying we have this water resource and we're planning ahead so that we can have an alternative water resource to supplement what we get already to make sure we have enough water for the growth and for everyone in the city. That really is the benefit, and he identified as we need the water.
Yep. Sure. Thank you, Jason.
Yep.
Can I highlight on that too? That this year, and Bob, if you're listening, you know, the legislature passed legislation that said water reuse. They definitely want that in Washington County. They didn't want it in the Great Salt Lake feeder area. But this project is so beneficial and not damaging to the Great Salt Lake that this was not included in that legislation. Yeah, this project is allowed to go forth because of the work that's been done, the collaborative work that's been done with us and the state, working to get it to this point and to help the right people recognize how important this is and that we're very mindful of the Great Salt Lake and that we're part of that larger ecosystem. And so I appreciated you touching on that, but I think it's important to point out that was significant for us this year.
Yeah. Yep, it
and
was.
We have the full support of the drinking water.
Yep, the Division of Drinking Water staff and director fully support the project.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Mayor, if I may note, in talking with the sponsor of that legislation, he fully recognized South Jordan and what we're doing.
And we're the only ones doing this.
This type, yeah.
In this way, this type. And it's... you know, just to the cost-benefit analysis, it costs half as much as doing a traditional
reverse osmosis,
you know,
yep.
program. And as we've discussed several times, there's also no residue left at the end. There's no brine at the end that has to be discarded that we have to pay to eliminate as well or to haul off or to put somewhere. We don't have that to deal with either. For so many reasons, this is a win. This is a win. And so... I don't have a vote, but I am going to say I certainly hope you vote to support this so we can show the show that we're willing to go in half because we would like this grant to go forward. Yeah. So. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions or comments, I will ask if there is a motion on Resolution R-2023-14 approving the potential Bureau of Reclamation grant match commitment for funding opportunity R23AS00076, Water Smart, Water Recycling, and Desalination Planning.
Mayor, I'll move to approve Resolution R2023-14 as stated.
Thank you. We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All right, seeing none, we would like to welcome Ms. Melanie Edwards here with us tonight. Thank you for being here. And Ms. Edwards, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Yes. Council Member Harris?
Yes.
Council Member Marler?
Yes.
Council Member Zander?
Yes.
Council Member McGuire?
Yes.
Thank you.
That motion is approved. Thank you. Thank you. And I mean, there's just hardly enough words to say how grateful we are for all the work that is continuing to go into this and that our federal delegation is excited about it. They know about this as well. We have had the chance to show one of our senators and one and our congressman this, and we've invited the other senator, and they're excited about it. They know what's happening. They know what we're doing, and they're impressed with the work we're doing. So thank you.
Very nice.
All right, item H2, Resolution R-2023-16, prohibiting the use of an ignition source, including fireworks, lighters, matches, sky lanterns, and smoking materials in certain areas. We are grateful for our fire chief, Chris Dawson, for being here. And right now, Jason's department is just slam busy, and you guys are always busy, but it's about to ramp up. If the snow ever melts.
It's hard.
We do have fire season this year.
Right. It's hard to believe that we're talking about fire season and fireworks with the weather that's going on behind us here. Right. So that said, yeah, this is our annual resolution for our fireworks restrictions area. State code requires us to do this every year and to turn in our areas of restriction to the county by May 1st. So that's why we're doing this evening. We have made no changes, actually had no requests for changes to our map last year. So as we've looked it over, we believe that we have appropriate restrictions in place. for this year. Something to note with the wet spring that we do expect, we expect that things will grow very well, which will just simply add to the fuel. And actually, in times of severe drought, people tend to be a little more careful and a little better about what they're doing. And so the fact that our drought is coming off may actually work to our disadvantage this year. So again, we believe that these restrictions are appropriate for the community and recommend that you approve this resolution. Any questions about the resolution?
My only question is a bit of a request. In a couple of areas that are that were new last year,
mm-hmm.
The digital signage I think was really helpful. If we could do that again this year,
you bet. That's the education is a big component to this, so we'll take care of that this year as well.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. If there's no questions, is there a motion on Resolution R-2023-16 prohibiting the use of an ignition source, including fireworks, lighters, matches, sky lanterns, and smoking materials in certain areas?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Resolution R-2023-16.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. He knows I'm talking about my neighborhood. Yeah. You all know I'm talking about my neighborhood. All right, item H3, Resolution R-2023-20, authorizing the city manager to enter into encroachment agreements for certain limited structures on the city's property maintained for flood channels along the Midas Creek. This is an important discussion and interesting topic. And so we'll start with our city engineer, and who's our director of engineering, Brad Clavineau. Thank you, Mr. Clavineau.
Yes, Mayor, members of the council. What's on the diagram before you is I just wanted to orientate you where this is at. So this is Midas Creek. Kind of flows along here. This is 118 South, 3200 West. And it's just off the page, but 2700 West is over there. Phil taught me how to clear that today, so that was fantastic. anyhow, so, you know, last year we installed the trail on the south side of Midas Creek. And as you can see in this here drawing, it was before this was picture, or not drawing, this picture was taken before it was paved. But I'm trying to focus in. So you can see the pavement went approximately on top of this, on top of the graded area right here. And a number of the residents over time had landscaped back into these areas. Hmm. And you know, some of them hadn't. You know, some of the residents had put their fence right here where the property line is, and some had landscaped back. And as we finished that and some of the residents, in fact, the residents that lives at this house right here, right? At your house.
3102.
Yeah, 3102.
Yeah.
The Frosts are here tonight, and they've requested to kind of keep using this landscaped area and do a little bit more landscaping. And the neighbor to the east of them here is actually already, since this was taken, putting a fence up there. They would also like to fence along here and use it. As staff, we met and discussed this. We felt as long as there was some agreement and some restrictions of what could go in there, that it would be beneficial to the residents and to the city to let that area be used and maintained by them. One thing that has to be considered, even though the city owns all this property where the creek is and the trail, the county maintains this flood control channel. Salt Lake County Flood Control does. They like to have a gap there, so if they have to get equipment in there to clean it up or whatever, they would like that. So they always want, if you're going to encroach in some of that area, and a permit, which kind of restricts some of the stuff that goes in there. We don't want a structure Probably not a precast wall, but a vinyl fence would be fine, or, you know, some building or something that causes problems. So the agreement, we're still working out the final language with the attorney's office, but would allow the city manager into an encroachment agreement with the property owners that would like to encroach in this area, and it would put some restrictions on what could go in there and give some some warning to them that if in a flood event something happened, that, you know, that fence may come down at their cost or some of those kind of things. So that's kind of what's before you, is to allow, in particular, the Frost or our residents that would like to move on this, you know, quickly. We will approach the neighbors and make them sign an agreement because they've already put up the fence. And then on down the road if another one does. So that's one thing we're trying to discuss with you all tonight. The other one is we do have some, and it'll take just a second for this property line to regenerate, but I don't know how well that's seen there, but the property line actually goes right here on these folks, these two homes. And you can see they had built a structure in that property we own, the city owns. They also put a fence along here. What we would like to do, and we've talked to the attorney's office, is we would like to approach them with this agreement, modify it slightly because they already have the structure in there, and say, hey, if you... we want you to sign this saying you acknowledge you put a structure there. If there's some flood event or something that they have to come in with equipment, you may lose your structure. If they won't sign the agreement, then we would probably just record it against their property so there's knowledge going forward rather than coming in and make him take it out at this point in time. There is one other, and let's see if this generates here. This one is kind of unique. Clear that.
Swimming pool on our property.
Did it not? Oh yeah. You can see the property line kind of goes through here, and part of their pool is in our property. Yeah, and their house is pretty close. But this one's a little bit kind of their fault and the city's fault. They had presented a plan years ago when they built this that the property line went straight from that point to that point. Staff or whoever reviewed it kind of didn't really check in thorough enough detail, and it was approved. We probably would want to approach them and do the same thing. We're talking about the other owners, but it's not as concerning on this one per se, because you got the park right here and all this room. The way the creek kind of bends here, their probably facility is not as big of an issue, but just wanted to point that out to you. So really, the item before you tonight is just approving this resolution that authorizes the city manager into an encroachment agreement that allows the property owners to use this property, but protects the city and the county if there needs to be any maintenance for flood control events. I'll answer any questions if you might have them. I hope I explained it right.
If I could, Mayor. So I can't even read chalk. The Chuck Creek 115 or something, whatever that is, they are aware, you've made them aware that...
No, after, if you approve this going forward, we'll contact them.
Okay, great. Yeah, I just... And then anyone, are you going to then go all the way down through the area and let people know so that we don't have a problem with them actually building structures and building concrete walls and so on?
Most of the residents, if you look at this along here, they've all put fences along the property line. They've all done a fairly good job. So we probably wouldn't approach any of those folks. Okay. It'd be the only ones that those who want to do something like the Frost and the Crockett's next to them, we would have, you know, they would have to sign this agreement to do the work. The few that are encroaching that I went over, then we would approach him with this agreement, try to get him to sign it. If not, we would just, and I don't know, Ryan can opine, just record something against their property. But
yeah, the issue is this. The reason it's before you is because this is city-owned property and we'd be allowing people to use part of it under certain conditions, and that's something the council should, you know, vote to allow or not. if you choose not to, our alternative is enforce against them, i.e. take them to court for trespass or a code violation or both. And that gets with mixed results with judges and stuff. And plus, it's not necessary.
We don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's not what we want to do. It's not necessary. The issues that arise from the two or three, you know, I think there's another little part of a shed that encroached. From the two or three real structures that are sitting there, more than a fence and landscaping, we can deal with them. If they choose not to sign the agreement, it's hard to get someone to sign an agreement when they've already got what they want. We'll record that a notice for them and future property owners that'll look substantially like the agreement. We're recording the agreements too. That way future property owners who go out and see the property and say, oh, that's, look at that room, I'll put a shed here and there. And when they go to buy it, they see on the notice, assuming they read their documents, which I encourage, that they can't put it there. And so those sorts of things is how we'll, for the future, protect that. And if they don't have a fence or structure there currently, like some of them don't, then we would also do the same, make them come in like the Frosts have done, submit for an encroachment permit, and then take them through this process. It's funny, the Jordan Valley Water Conservancy District administers a big water aqueduct that goes through the city, and if we as a city want to put anything there, you know, Walmart's right by the aqueduct up by Bangor, and there's other businesses, we have to sign an encroachment agreement. It's the same principle, scaled down much less. That agreement's like 30 pages. So this is scaled down a lot, but it's that same idea of we're protecting something, but we want people to be able to use that, because otherwise it just sits there, collects weeds.
Go ahead. Thank you for your explanations. That helps a lot. I think you answered my question. You said this is beneficial to the resident and it's beneficial to the city. And I was going to ask, how is this possibly beneficial to the city? Is it because of the weeds that we're saying they would maintain those areas?
Yeah, just less maintenance for the city.
Okay.
And it'll look better overall as they uniform, if the fence lines are more uniform and you don't have the dead spaces, things like that.
Okay. So I would be okay with this. The one thing I would say is in there you're very clear, because you said, well, maybe we let them know that if anything has to happen, it's at their cost. That, in my opinion, shouldn't be a maybe. It's an absolute.
Well, I'm sorry I said maybe. No, that would definitely be.
The agreement's very clear. We have a draft of the agreement.
Okay.
And I know the Frosts have talked to Mr. Simonson in my office. And they know there's an element of risk, a slight risk. But,
yeah.
You know, when you build alongside a creek, you face those risks.
So I think it's, I mean, I've had a home that's had an easement before, and we planted a garden out there, and we got permission from the city, kind of, they let us do it, but never did I build a fence. So if we are allowing a fence, I'd want us to be really crystal clear. That fence could come down, and your landscaping will be ruined. If there's a flood, we have to be able to get in there. Otherwise, I think it's nice to have them extend and have beautiful landscaping there. My other question is, these white property lines that we're looking at, have any of these ever changed? Like when people came in and bought their properties, would those lines have ever altered?
No.
Or this was the case from the beginning of this property?
Right.
The white lines reflect what was platted and recorded at the time that the subdivision was built.
Yeah, it was platted that way. So.
Okay.
And the county asked us to preserve that space.
Right.
For the flood channel.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks,
ma'am.
Yeah. Any
others? Yeah. I've got some questions here, and these are probably directed, you know, to Mr. Luce here. From a legal perspective, if anything happens on that property that I guess we technically own that land. Is that right?
Yeah.
So how's that work? And so if we have someone that gets, let's say, hurt on that property, is there going to be anything? We can have any agreements, you know, that are in place.
That's what the encroachment agreement does. It releases us from all liability and stuff. Even like say they put a trampoline on that back portion and someone gets injured, they know anything that goes on in there from their use of that property is their responsibility.
Okay, so you're talking about first party. What about third party, Ryan?
So from a third party sense, in some ways, it's...
So if they have a visitor over there that they're not under... And we haven't entered yes. any contract with any third party.
Well, that's the indemnification and hold harmless provisions of the agreement, that they have to indemnify us, hold us harmless from that. In some ways, from a third party, it actually protects us more because people accessing that trail now are up against the fence, not wandering off the trail into other areas. And so there's pluses and minuses on that side, but at least this way with the encroachment agreement, we have the indemnification to hold harmless.
So you feel like you covered the first party and third party okay on that then?
As much as we possibly can.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, as you know, with the hold harmless indemnification, it all depends on what stands behind it, right?
Sure.
But that's where, you know, we weigh out how much that risk is, and I would say it's slight, but we'll have those provisions there.
Okay. And this is a permanent agreement that we're making right here. So, I mean, once they...
We could revoke it.
We could revoke it.
It's obviously revocable on our side.
And that we're putting that in there, that it's revocable, mm-hmm. so we can change it. And if we revoke
not that we have plans to.
Not that we have plans to, but if there was a reason where it needed to change on any individual lot or entirely for whatever reason, let's just say is it the county or that
county flood control
state say this, we got an issue with this, we've made this deal, say, and so, and then we have to comply with the county or if the irrigation district, whoever it is, we have the ability to say, I know we made this deal, but based on the circumstances, we're going to have to pull this and to be compliant.
Yep, we can do that. In fact, the county ordinance, man, it's been a few days since I read it, but it has provisions too where they allow people to go in and do certain things, but they revoke that too, and they can tell us to pull it. And so that's all covered by the agreement. And then also by the county ordinance. And then, you know, part of this is we're trying to rectify past encroachments. And even if they don't sign, we're going to put all that in the notice. Yeah. Your notice that you built this without an encroachment permit and that you don't have one and that anything there you're responsible for, if anybody's hurt, all the liability, first and third party. Also, if that shed is in the way and we're swinging an excavator around to pull debris out of that creek bed, guess what? Your shed may be going. And we just have to let people know that was preserved and reserved for this very specific purpose that is statutorily mandated by the state, that the county do it. The county has provisions that we followed, and people took liberties with that. Frankly, I feel in a better position with this agreement process because they go in knowing much better, not just assuming, not just planting something there. We go in knowing, and we have a meeting of the minds. Because at the same time, they're technically trespassing. Like the mayor said, it would feel very difficult to just go yank people's fences today unless there was a flood or pull that shed out or bury the corner of that swimming pool. So we'll do all those things to protect us as best we can. There's always some level of risk, but I think there's less risk with the agreement than the current situation we have.
And thanks for putting that agreement together. You hit the points that I was looking for. And I guess everyone... when we're presenting this to them, they're going to know they're doing this at their own risk. Things could change. Property might have to be moved, and they know going into it that could be the case.
Right.
And if anything gets revoked or whatever else, they're going to pull it at their own cost.
Right.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. So some of those lines are actually fairly close to that road. In fact, kind of right on it or I mean... having gone through a very large flood in my life in 1976 with the Teton Dam flood, I can tell you that if there's a lot of water that comes through there, nothing will stop it. And I don't know if this is the year. I mean, in that photo, I don't see any water at all in that creek right now, I don't believe. But my question is this. If there is a major event that comes through there, and they need to get a D9 CAT to come in and repair things, I don't know how they do that on that road as close as some of those fences are going to be to that road, Brad? Am I just making this up or thinking?
Well, there's still a pretty good light here because the creek actually bends here. It's a little deceiving, but there's a good 30 feet there, you know. So,
hey, Brad. I was just going to say that area is probably not concerned to get equipment in. Actually, if you go further east, Midas Creek goes through Riverton, and that's the biggest concern along of the Midas in that area is where it goes through Riverton. They didn't east.
This area here.
If you keep going east, that's actually.
This area right here is a little bit concerning. Right at 27th. Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of what I
meant. They had flooding 2 years ago, was it?
Well, as you keep going east, it goes through Riverton. That's actually the biggest concern of the Midas. Yeah. So anyway, to Councilman Marler's point, I think we could get equipment in there if need be, but I don't see that happening through that stretch.
And recently, okay. All this was remapped by FEMA, and none of the 100-year storm is all within the channel through here. And so years ago, we had received money from the county and some other funds, and we redid this whole creek channel through here and all the way down and the culvert under 27th. Mm-hmm. This used to be an open ditch through Mr. King's property. That all was culverted. And to Jason's Wayne point, King. Down in here in Riverton, it's actually more concerning than through the city of South Jordan. So.
Yeah, and my comment was really for those residents that are thinking about building out to that line.
Hold on for a little bit.
There could be an event. I mean, I think the snow event that we've had this year, and it's snowing out there right now, by the way, is more snow than we've seen since 74 or something, since they even kept track. So this could be an eventful year, shall we say. So it will be interesting to see what happens. I think if we can make it through this year, we're probably going to be okay.
To be honest with you, this creek has more issues with thunderstorms in the summer than it does, I think.
Really?
Because Midas Creek, for the most part, has been cut off from the Ochres by all the mining with Kennecott. So, yeah, there's some property out there that the snow will melt and go into, you know, like where we're annexing and, you know, that area. But I don't... It's not like we're going to get the snow melt from the mountains down through here because it just was cut off by the Kennecott copper mining. So
I'm happy to hear that.
That's good to know.
Yep. Okay, I think I'm good.
Thank you. Go ahead.
If I could ask one more question. Kind of to Mr. Marler's point, some of these fence lines go right up super close to that trail. In parts of our city, we have some easement restrictions that as you're going down sidewalks or trails, you know the one I'm talking about, and the fence has to be off that sidewalk or off that trail a certain distance. So as people pass with bikes and strollers, the fence isn't right there butted up to it.
Yeah.
So that's a concern I have that if these fences get so close to the trail, now you've encumbered the ease of passage on the trail. Am I making sense?
Yeah, but this trail was built at, I think it's 15 feet wide. So it's a fairly wide trail. It's not like a sidewalk.
Okay.
So
that answers my question then. So are we as a city going to allow, is your thought that you would allow them to put the fence up to the edge of the trail? Or are we going to require 6 inches or 12
Yeah,
inches?
It'll be a little buffer off the asphalt. Don't be right hugging the asphalt.
But. I'd like to see that just for the ease of passage on the trails. And if we're going to have that, let's make it consistent moving forward that people have so many inches or feet.
Yes.
They need to allow a little space there.
We'll probably keep at least a foot off. So,
okay. Smart idea. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clavenaugh. All right. Is there a motion on Resolution R2023-20 authorizing the city manager to enter into encroachment agreements for certain limited structures on the city's property maintained for flood channels along Midas Creek?
Mayor, I'll take a turn here and I'll move that we approve Resolution R2023-20 as stated.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mrs. Ander. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That is approved. And I just want to say thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Frost. Thank you for your
reaching out to the city in advance before you built your fence, and for
asking permission, instead
understanding that that's city property and what do we need to do, and just going about it the right way, for being collaborative and thoughtful about, you know what, there's a way we can figure this out, but what does that look like? Thank you for that. Really appreciate it. And yeah, I think this is a great idea. So yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. I'm going to ask a personal favor really quickly and see if the council would be willing to choose one of you to be a mayor pro tem for a quick minute, because my whole family is talking to our son for his birthday right now, and I would really love, he's on a mission, I would love to go chat with him really fast if I can.
Yeah.
Somebody would like to?
I'll do it.
Okay, all in favor of making, can I take that? Can I ask for that vote?
I'll move that we appoint Pamela Zander to be our mayor pro tem
for just a quick minute.
But I will second that, because I think that's the fastest Tamara's ever volunteered for that.
It's the only time. Put it in your journals.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Marler and a second by Mr. McGuire. Tamara Zander, mayor pro tem. For just the next few minutes.
Necessary, yeah.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's all yours.
Okay. I'll try and maintain
you
some semblance of order.
I'll be right back. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll be gone when we get back.
This is unheard of. I've never done this, but you know what? I wanted to
go say hello. Yep, family first. Go. All right, moving on to item H4, resolution R2023-21, adopting revised citywide policies 200-01 through 200-14 regarding fringe benefits. City CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu, would you take us through this, please?
I brought all my documents, so it's going to be a long one.
That's a pretty good one. Word for word.
You know, those legal documents, you have to read word for word. So anyway, Mayor Pro Tem, this resolution references quite a few, 14 of those citywide policies, specifically related to IRS rules and guidelines. You probably don't remember us talking about this for a long time, because we have not updated it since 2015, and things change. So here we are, making those changes so that we can be in compliance with the changes that have taken place from the IRS perspective, as well as make it a little easier to use from our staff perspective too, so we could be in compliance. I really don't need to read or go each one of them, but unless you have any specific questions, I'll be happy to answer. Otherwise, I recommend approval of those.
Okay. Mr. Attorney, do I need to ask for any comments, public comments on this? No. Okay.
Yeah,
Council,
not a public,
do you have any questions?
That's pretty straightforward.
I'm just curious about if there was one fringe benefit that changed the most, or is new, what would that be?
One that comes to my mind is the moving expenses, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the ability to reimburse if you hire somebody, a senior staff, and you want to help them move to our city and reimburse for their moving expenses. Well, back in 2017, Congress, I guess it was the executive office, passed that law where they froze that until end of 2025. So until December of 2025, any moving expenses reimbursed to a future employee would be taxable. So, prior to that, it was non-taxable.
That's interesting. Yeah. It was
questions?
Just of interest.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Marduk. Any other questions, Council? If not, we'll have a vote. Ms. Edwards.
You'll call for a vote.
We will call for a vote.
Would anyone like to make a motion to approve? I'll make a motion that we approve resolution R2023-21.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Mrs. Edwards.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander.
Yes. Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to resolution number H5, resolution R2023-15, adopting a tentative budget, making appropriations for the support of the City of South Jordan for the fiscal year commencing July 1st, 2023, and ending June 30th, 2024. Mr. Nadeau, if you'd take us through that too, please.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. This is the big page over here. And I just have to mention that, you know, all day today, Mr. Lewis has been coaching me how to present, and I don't think I'm ready to go that direction yet. So I'm just going to do my stuff.
That's a story for another day.
A story for another day, for sure. And keeping up with the theme for the night, I was just going to, obviously, this is a huge document, our tentative budget. We will not have time to go through all this, and Mayor, Council, staff, we have spent quite a bit of time every year going through budget, and this is the tentative budget for the fiscal year 2023-2024. And I just wanted to just take 2 minutes to share some of the highlights of this budget, and I have just 2 pages, and I'm just going to quickly go through it. Historical tax rates, you know, continues to go down for multiple different reasons. Our property values have been increasing. Our population has been increasing. And we would, our tax rate will, for sure, will be lower than where it is this year. You know, there are about 16 municipalities in the county, and we are fourth lowest tax rate where we are compared to them. And this year, the council approved the chart on the right, new FTEs, full-time employees. Those are the full-time employees that the council approved this year during the budget process. And so you can see that. You know, as the city grows, employees, grow. And one of the major expenditures for the city is the employee cost. For now, about 77% of our total cost is employee-related. Fund balance, we have a goal, or with the legislature passing or allowing us to have a reserve up to 35%. We are continually working towards it, but that's a moving target. So, you know, who knows when we will reach there, but we are about 28% compared to current budget. Employee benefits, we haven't made any changes or proposed any changes. It is currently. Operationally, you know, we were able to add some dollars to our departments. It's not a huge amount, but it's something. And you know, leftover money that we had, we ongoing revenues. That's what we were able to allocate for those departments, as you see on the right. New this year, council approved the IFT program, and in a facility transfer program. And so you will see that as a separate a fund in the budget, and as well as about a year ago, we talked about city moving away from the pool, the IRMA pool, and become self-insurance. And so that will be a fund that you will see in the budget as well. I just wanted to quickly mention, and these numbers are what actually went through our ledger. Anything that mayor, council, staff has worked with the legislatures or whoever that we got credits for or lowered our cars will not be here. This is everything that has been recorded in our ledger system. So since 2017, you can see that we have managed to receive about over almost $22 million in state grants, about almost 16 in legislative appropriations, and almost $4 million in federal grants. Those are a really good thing for the city. We're able to use those funds and in accomplishing a lot of things good for the city. So we appreciate Mayor, Council, and staff in their work in getting those grants. And lastly, just wanted to quickly mention all the capital projects that have been discussed during the budget sessions. This is a very high level categorized by different types of projects and the funding sources. So this is a balanced budget. This budget does not set aside any money towards fund balance, and so all those projected revenues has been allocated or appropriated to its respective expenditures. So with that, I will stop here. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer. And then we do recommend approving this tentative budget that will allow anybody to have access to review the budget. And that will also, we have scheduled, tentatively scheduled a public hearing on this budget for the 2nd of May. That's when the public will have opportunity to provide their comments or inputs. So.
Thank you, Mr. Nadeau. I'll turn to the council. Do you have questions?
I have a question, not necessarily for Mr. Nadeau. It's just kind of a general personnel position question. Might be better for Mr. Rasmussen. I noticed on the parks breakdown on page 217 that this year and going forward that we don't have an urban forestry open space coordinator. I was thinking of that as our kind of city Lorax. I thought we still had the Lorax somewhere in the city.
We do, and that's who I mentioned, Kevin Ball. So I'll admit I haven't seen that page, but we do. We do have that position.
That's
and
what I thought.
That's the gentleman that oversees our urban forestry program. So, yeah, he's there. I talked to him today.
Page 217.
217.
Good catch.
It's page 121 of the budget packet.
And I would ask, on top of that, we haven't always had that urban forest position. It's only been the last few years, right?
No, we've actually had that position at least 10 years-ish, 10, 12 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Do you want to look into that and get back with us, or do you want to respond to that today?
It's just a typo.
Okay.
That
position's still here. Wonderful. Right. Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Any other questions, Council?
I don't have any other Dr. Seuss questions. I'm ready for
some of us love the trees. We want to be Tree USA.
I do have a question. On the fleet, that was one of the bigger percentage increases. I know we went over that. Are we still sticking to the same intervals of changing out the vehicles? Are we stretching them farther, or are we sticking to it? Or is that just the vehicles are just costing more? As we're going to city, we need more vehicles. Is that really what's causing it?
Well, mostly that and the cost of fuel and the cost of parts.
Okay.
Those were the main drivers in the increase that you saw.
Okay, that's good enough. Seeing. And then I just want to point it out. I mean, you mentioned it, but I want to go. Can you go back to the grant page? I really want to talk about this. I mean, this is a huge deal that we're getting 21. We've got from 2017, we've got $21 million of state grants, $15 million of state legislative appropriations, and then almost $4 million in federal grants. I mean, the city has worked so hard to get various funds coming into the city. Our mayor
has done a great job in positioning herself and developing, relationships, at the appropriate levels to be able to receive this. The city staff has done a good job in putting together grant requests, and staying on top of things. This is not automatic money that comes in. I just want the public to know that. I mean, there's a lot of work and relationships and various things that come into play to get this money. And this is what allows us to kind of keep, what we can do to try to keep our, the taxes low. This is tremendous help in being able to allow that. So I just didn't want to gloss. I know you went over it, but I just want to thank everyone. At some point, almost everyone in this room has been involved in it to some degree, and others that aren't even in this room. But it's huge.
Mayor Pro Temp, if I may, yes. One thing on that state legislative appropriation that doesn't include things. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Nadeau, like when we do betterments for example, on Bangor Highway with the underpasses, and we are able to reach agreements with UDOT where the total betterment of the underpass may be $8 million.
Yeah.
But they'll work with us on $4 or $5 million, and due to Brad's good work and other, that number doesn't include those things. Oh. These are just actual numbers in there. But I can tell you on Bangor that, Brad, what would you guess on the two underpasses we've done on Bangor, at least $6 to $8 million? That UDOT has worked with us on?
104th cost us $6 million just for the underpass.
But what was the total cost on that project?
Oh, the total UDOT cost?
Uh-huh. What would have our cost been if they charged us every penny they could have?
Probably two-thirds more than that.
Oh, it's probably close to $12 million to go.
Yeah, so there's $6 million there that's not showing up on this. That is money through that same legislative effort. I don't know if our BNC road fund showed up on this number. They probably don't.
They don't.
But we, do you remember how much, Jason, by changing the law, we were able to collect in BNC more?
It was about an additional $600,000 a year.
And then Chief Dawson, do you remember how much with our legislation on the interfacility fiasco that we had to go through for a couple of years, how much we were able to collect?
It's been in the hundreds of thousands annually.
And so if you look at our total effort, and I'm glad you highlighted it, Mr. Harrison, yeah. Due to the great work of the mayor and the council, I will tell you, as one accountable for that, having a united council makes every bit of difference, because I've been up there both with a united council and without. And with a council that's not united, what they tell you is, well, if your council's not all on the same page, then I'm just going to do what I feel best. But if your council's all on the same page, I'll follow your council. That has made all the difference as you as elected. But just so you know, that number 15, I would estimate maybe half of what has actually gone on in that period of time. Because of all these other things we've brought up and the great work by the departments and others to make that happen.
These grants are literally some of the behind-the-scenes things that just, not most people don't know about, but it's tremendous that we get this kind of funding coming in, get these grants.
These are the numbers that actually flow through the budget. And all the rest you're talking about were appropriations that came to us or that we benefited from, but these flow through the budget.
Well, the appropriations are direct given. Yeah. Those other things are things that come through like
it's the
more
negotiated between the mayor.
The interfacility comes from us doing that business, but us protecting our ability to do it from someone encroaching in the business. They were taking our business that they shouldn't have been, so we got the law clarified to make sure we could exclude them. The BNC road funds came from us working to redefine the definition of an alley, which are our roads in daybreak. They're called alleys, and you don't get BNC for alleys. Well, we redefined them as lanes, and that was a lot of work by planning to actually change the plats. It was work by Jason. And all of that works together with our lobbyists and with the mayor and the council's clout with the legislators. They want to work with us because we're a city that's good to work with.
Yeah, even including allowing the alleyways to become part of the BNC calculation where we could get some money.
That's what I was highlighting to the tune of.
So, and Brad actually got that effort going years ago. So he loosened the bolt, and we just were there to unspin it. He did all the hard work years ago, and Brad did.
Mr. Priest brings up even the HTRZ, as the mayor knows, two legislative sessions ago, we worked to change the HTRZ to give us more abilities to do things in master plan community and stuff, and through our negotiation and through working with Senator Harper and Representative Schultz, we were able to change that in a more favorable way so that when we did make the application just a week or two ago, I guess it's been 2 weeks now, 2 weeks tomorrow, I believe, but when we did change that, when we suggest a change, it's our reputation and everything that you guys have done and that our staff does make this a desirable city so people know when they get here. As our guest earlier was saying, he knows when he hits South Jordan. Those things make all the difference in the world. They really do.
We never made a very big deal about that, but now that we have got our HTRZ approved, our success with getting the legislation amended so it was more beneficial for us a little over a year ago, was tremendous. Yeah.
And that was through some discussions and working with, that was an idea from the city, actually, to do that. And we worked with our lobbyists and then Larry H. Miller, because it's our community, worked to put their lobbying effort behind it. But those are the ideas and things that really, you know, that number of 15.8, and I'd round it to 16, not 15, just, you know, out of self-interest, I guess. But that number, I would estimate, really is, you know, maybe half of what's really gone on. And it's a great number to see, and we hope to do more. But there's so much that goes into that effort, and you've all supported that at a high level, too. So I appreciate that. Sorry, Mr. Harris, jumping on the bandwagon there, but I wanted to make sure
we're all on the ground.
I'd like to officially welcome the mayor back into the council chambers. Would you like me to continue for this resolution, or would you like to take over?
I think you have to, right? Does she? Can you tell us? I don't know.
No, once the mayor's back in, the mayor's the mayor.
Okay.
There can't be a mayor pro tem when the mayor's sitting there.
I did have a call with mayor when you're ready.
Oh, you've never had a call with mayor pro tem with me sitting in the room, right? Like, I don't know.
Related to this or otherwise?
Related to this.
I just don't have the ability to change the Zenda green to whatever your color is.
I know.
It's what Melanie's wearing.
There is
wearing.
Something about that color.
Beautiful. Just makes you feel vibrant.
That's awesome. Okay, you had a question.
I also wanted to talk about the grant section, but I wanted to point out something you said at the very beginning of your presentation, Mr. Nadeau. You said we are the fourth lowest municipal tax rate in the state,
Salt Lake County.
And so the way, I just wanted on the public record, the way we're able to support all the services that South Jordan has, that you can drive into our city and feel a difference, and we're still the fourth lowest, is because of these grants and the hard work that's been done.
It's multiple different things, right? Yeah. Grants and policies. You know, the policies that council makes, economic policies, you know, bringing businesses to the, you know, balancing between businesses and housing, all those things amounts to where we are today.
Our services in this city do not reflect the fourth lowest tax rate. Our services look more like we'd be the number top tier highest tax rate. And so I wanted to dovetail on what was already being said and kind of go back to that. But I did the math on this. It's $42 million plus all the other things we just talked about. That's pretty significant. So I just wanted to point that out. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is we talked about how this is a combination of work, relationships. I think the other thing that wasn't mentioned is trust. Back to your point, I feel like the state and the federal levels have a great deal of trust for the city of South Jordan because we have a consistent, great leader, and we as a council have behaved ourselves. And we try to be intelligent, and we listen to our staff, and then we vote according to how we feel. But we've all been fair-minded, and it's a different, it's a good culture. And I've been on councils that weren't necessarily that way, and it's paying off, and our residents are getting benefits for it. So,
thank you. Yeah, I see that from cities all across the state. Mm-hmm. I know that's true.
Yeah, thank you. Go ahead.
And my point is, I think
maybe smaller, but I think we've all, I don't know why Sunil chose those dates, but I think we've been on the council together for that period of time. And that's the consistency that we're talking about, and the collaboration, and the work with the staff has performed has all contributed. It's holistic, mm-hmm. You know. It's not just one thing, but being on the council here this long and working together this long, I think has also contributed.
I think so too. That's as long as we've been together, this group. This entire group. Thank you. I know I came in late, but I appreciate you mentioning, because I said this doesn't even include the 50-plus million per interchange for Bangor Highway that we got, and the U-111 expansion, and the Mountain View. All, you know, I'm like, there's a gazillion millions of more, you know, hundreds of millions more dollars that goes into this. And so he said, yes, they did mention that before. I'm like, okay, as long as it's out there. That's good. Thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Yeah, any number I share, if anybody asks me, I can direct them to our ledger, and it's right there. So yeah. I don't like to, you know, make up numbers, because if I can't prove it, it's just an, you know.
Well, we appreciate it.
Madam Mayor, may I say one thing? One person I didn't think was all the work Melinda put in, because many of those numbers are part of what she was doing when she was part of that effort directly.
Any other questions? Any other part of the presentation?
I think we're ready.
Okay, we're on H5. Yes, adopting the tentative budget. Thank you. Okay, if there are no other questions for Mr. Naidu, thank you for everything. Thank you for all of your work. And I appreciate these numbers and the block of time that you're reflecting. I do, because that is the time that we've been together. So thank you. Is there a motion on Resolution R-2023-15 adopting a tentative budget, making appropriations for the support of the City of South Jordan for the fiscal year commencing July 1, 2023 and ending June 30, 2024?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve Resolution R-2023-15 as you stated.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Marler. Any additional discussion?
Mayor, I'd just like to make a clarifying comment.
Go ahead.
I brought up while you were out of the room question about the parks positions, thinking that something left off, and all that's happened is that they've been retitled a new position, and so everything is okay on that list.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, I will ask Ms. Edwards if she would please lead the council in a roll call vote.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all your work on this and everyone else. All right, I will now ask for a motion to recess our city council meeting and move us to our redevelopment agency meeting.
So moved. I'll second.
All right, we have Mrs. Zander with a second by Mr. McGuire. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. And welcome to the City of South Jordan Redevelopment Agency meeting. Before us, we have item H6, Resolution RDA 2023-01, adopting a tentative budget for the fiscal year 2023-24. Mr. Naidu.
Thank you, Madam Chair, I guess. No changes. RDA is really a simple increment commitments, budgeting for increments received and commitments going out. Nothing new or unusual than previous year's budget for now. So,
anyone have any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Seeing none, is there a motion to approve Resolution RDA 2023-01, adopting a tentative budget for the fiscal year 2023-24?
Madam Chair, I will motion that we approve Resolution RDA 2023-01.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Any discussion? Okay, Ms. Edwards, would you please lead a roll call vote?
Councilmember McGuire?
Yes.
Councilmember Harris?
Yes.
Councilmember Zander?
Yes.
Councilmember Marler?
Yes.
Thank you. That was approved unanimously. That passes. Thank you. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn our redevelopment agency meeting and return us back to the city council meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Welcome back. The last item on our agenda, staff reports and calendaring items. We will turn to Mr. Whatcutt and Mr. Lewis. See if either of you have anything.
I have one item for you. We have yet to be able to get a grand marshal for the parade. The other names that were suggested, those folks are not available. Mm. So wow. We are beyond the point of the deadline where we would normally have that taken care of. So I wanted to make you aware of that. And if there's somebody that you think you can get me a name after this meeting or in the next day or two, that would be great. If not, our option would be to proceed without a grand marshal. There's nothing that says that we have to have one. But if you would like to have one, we would need to get that squared away rather quickly. That's all I have for you.
Yeah, I think it would be unfortunate in a city as tremendous as ours to not be able to get a grand marshal and choose a grand marshal. And I still think there's one name on the table that can be considered, but I will let everybody, you know, ruminate on that and decide what you thought.
I have one other. Are you going to go see them?
I have a suggestion as well.
You want to catch me after the meeting?
Yeah,
do you want to do it after. You want to throw them out now, or do you want to do it after?
After, so it's not on the.
So it's not on the after.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
But it's.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Anything else? No? Mr. Whatcutt, anything?
No.
Mr. Luce?
I just say in last Tuesday, we met with the representatives in Washington. Just compliment and to report to the other council members, Tamara and Patrick. Sorry, Mr. Harris and Ms. Andard did an excellent job representing the city and carried a lot of the weight in the presentation. The mayor and I filled in some blanks and stuff, but really they were all interested in the annexation. We presented four things, the annexation, the tank property, the Pure Sojo project, and the HDRZ, and they were all very interested in that. They all recognized where they were at in the city when they saw the maps, excited for the annexation, and especially Congressman Owens, who we're working with on a possibility of a federal appropriation, was really excited to see where the projects were and everything, and even said, that's where I was, right? And he was pointing at the map. And when there's that kind of recognition, and when he sees that members of our council and our mayor take the time to go visit him on his turf, they really appreciate that.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Along those lines, we have invited Senator Lee and his team if they ever have an opportunity to come and take a look. And I appreciated that Mrs. Zander said, if that happens, will you let us know? We absolutely will. We were, just so you know, the reason that not everybody was there when it was just a small group of us from the city, myself and a couple of staff, when Senator Romney and Congressman Owens came, their security teams essentially tell us that people can come. There's a lot of federal protocol for safety and security. So anyway, we'll let you know when that happens and if they let us have, invite whoever they'll let us have. But I do think having them meet you helps, mm-hmm. you know? So anyway, just wanted to clarify that. Anyone else? Anybody have anything? No? No? Okay. All right. Great. With that, I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move that we adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.